Blog Talk Radio.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are God, and it has not yet been revealed that what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For he shall see him, we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor know him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we shall love one another. Not as Cain, who was the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. He has eternal life abiding in him, no murderer does. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hates his brother, that means anyone, the murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brother. Now whoever has this world's goods, see his brother in need, and shut up his heart from him. How does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in words or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I'm going to read that verse again. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. But if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Believe we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we shall believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. I read to you today from 1 John, New Testament, chapter 3. 1 John, New Testament, chapter 3. Let us love one another. Let us love one another. Hallelujah. All right, hallelujah. God bless you. We ask you, dear Father, to just present yourselves to us and open our eyes that we may see more clearly your direction, dear Father. Open our hearts, dear Father, that we earnestly want to reach out and do the right things, that we want to live righteous lives, that we want to look and be the keepers of our brothers, and we want to not speak words of tongue, but we want to be faithful. Our words be of faithfulness. We want to speak the words of works towards our brethren. God bless us, each and every one of us. We need your blessing. We need you, dear Father. And we open up our hearts and we receive you right now. We invite you to dwell in us. Dear Father, in our households, in our jobs, right now in the hospital rooms, you're invited in, dear Father. Give us your peace. Give us your comfort. Give us your understanding. And we receive it right now in the name of Jesus. More of you, Jesus, and less of me. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this ministry. Amen. And I bless you, Jesus. I bless your name. I bless your name. Sisters and brothers, we need to guard our hearts. We need to learn to love each other. Communication is a big thing. Although there's been thousands of books written about communication, and practically everyone knows that solid communication is the key to having a successful relationship with our God, with our kids, with our spouses, on our jobs. You have to have a positive, solid, practical communication to maintain these relationships. And all the thousands of books have been written, you hear about it all the time, it still remains one of the biggest problems in our relationships, in our marriages, in our families. It's communication, loving one another, forgiving one another, being responsible for our actions, making sure that what we do, the actions that we take, that we're thinking about how it's going to affect someone else more than we're thinking about how it's going to pleasure our flesh. Once we get into the habit and form that habit of looking out for someone else, we are now starting to pick bricks up, put them into place to build a strong relationship. Communication must be the top priority in your relationship. I want to take a few minutes just to address some of the things that can help you improve your communication in your marriage, in your family, between mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, even on your job, between you and your boss. That's a good thing to know. Hallelujah. It's some key things that you must live by. I pray that these things will help you on your way. Matthew is our first verse for today. Our chapter is going to be Matthew 12, 34 and 35. And it simply tells us that out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Again, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. It goes on to say, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. That makes sense, right? But when we're in communication with one another, and especially when things have got heated, why is it that we find ourselves listening to, and instead of listening to what the person is saying, we don't mirror back what they're saying, but we allow the enemy to already start putting things in our minds of how we're going to respond. Our response is thinking about how it can top whatever it is that they're saying, how we can rebuttal, throw the rebuttal back, how we can be even more nastier, how we can top what they have said. The evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Now, is that your intention? It could be. Then we need to start at another place. Because we need your intentions. You've got to want to do right in order to walk in righteousness. So we have to establish that first. But I speak tonight for you who are wanting to do right, who are wanting to build your relationship with your daughters, mothers and daughters, mothers and sons, fathers and daughters, husband and wives, sisters and brothers. You're wanting to build a relationship. God has a word for you. In life, there are many things that will come to you, distract you. There are many things that's going to come to confuse you. And they want to draw the focus away from the things that really matter. You have to guard your heart against those things. Remember that when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. When you say yes to stepping out this adulterous relationship, you're saying no to your spouse that I'm no longer going to be faithful to you. When you say yes, I'm going to take what belongs into the household and I'm going to go and spend it out here in the world, gambling or whatever it may be, you're saying no to your family that they are the number one priority in your life. When you say yes, I will take from this job. I will steal hours. I will clock in but not do work. I will do this and do that. That is against the policies. When you say yes to those things, you're saying no that I'm an honest person. You're saying no to yes, I can be trusted. So when you say yes to one thing, just remember that you're saying no to something else. It's important to know what things are most important. And then when you know that they are the top priority, it's important to always put the yes in front of the no for those priorities. Yes, I will stand firm and be with my family through thick and through thin. Yes, I will cry with them. I will pray with them. We may get frustrated, but I will stand here. I won't walk out. No, I won't walk out on it. Yes, this job gets tedious. Yes, it's hard. Yes, things may not go my way. Yes, I don't understand something, but no, I won't give up. No, I won't throw in the towel. Yes, I will stand here and do what I said I would do. I gave my word to do. I will do that. Yes, I believe that it will get better. Yes, I believe that God will make a way for my family. Yes, I believe that this marriage will survive. Yes, I believe that if I continue to believe that God will do just what he said he would do. I believe. Yes, I believe. Yes, I trust. Yes, I have a spirit of expectancy. Yes, I'm looking for a miracle. Yes, I know that my God is a healer. Yes, I expect to be healed. Yes, I receive all that it is that his blood bought for me when it was shed on the cross. Yes, I receive it. Yes, I accept you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. Yes, closes the door to your nose. I will not serve you any longer. Say no. I will not walk in your ways anymore. No. I will not abide in the world, but I will abide in Jesus Christ. Because he abides in me. Yes, I will accept his love because he loved me first. Yes, I will guard my heart against the things of the world that will bring evil treasures into my good treasures of my heart. Yes, I will pray that my heart becomes good treasures. Because, yes, I believe that the word, where it says, for out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaketh. So when I open my mouth, I want the goodness of my heart to speak. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Guarding your heart from distractions. Guarding your heart from confusion. It'll help you achieve the next key to improving communication in your relationship. Build trust. After you guard your heart, you've got to build trust. You've got to be able to build trust when you have coming into a new relationship, especially young marriages. You've got to be able to build trust. Young people, with your parents, you've got to show them. You've got to build trust. Hallelujah. Life is no different than it is when you have a relationship with the Father. You've got to spend time with the Father. You've got to get to know His Word. You've got to get to know His Spirit. You've got to get to know His filling, His anointing. You've got to know. When you have something that is bothering you, you've got to know how to speak to that child about it. On that job, you've got to know how to present this issue that you are. Or maybe you need to discipline someone on the job. You've got to know how. You can't just run up there and just blurt it out just because you have a title in front of your name or you may be the boss. You've got to know how. The same in a marriage. You have something to say to your spouse, but maybe the trust isn't there. You build trust with consistent action. Sometimes building trust starts with saying, I'm sorry. But it just doesn't end there. It must be followed, again, with consistent action. You can't say, trust me, and then go out and do things that are untrustworthy. But you got to be consistent about this. Your actions must line up with the words of your mouth. Your actions must line up. Remember the word told us. Do not let the love of your words, don't show you love someone just by words, or just your tongue. But it says show it in your deed. Show it in your truth. That means in the way that you walk, in your actions. Show your love. Show that you can be trusted. That's how you build trust. That's how you build trust. There is no way around it. There is no way around it. You've got to be quick to listen. James 1 and 19 tells us, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I know you've heard the saying that says, you have two ears and one mouth. You should speak more slowly than you hear. You should listen twice as long, twice as much as you're speaking. If you're speaking, double speaking and everything, then you're not listening. You have two ears for a reason. So again, James 1:19, and just another translation of it. Let's just read it out of another translation real quickly here. Hallelujah. Tells us right here, the one we read said, so then, my brethren, my beloved brethren, didn't we always present ourselves like that? Beloved brethren, let every man, not just the preachers, people sometimes think that people in leadership, that we should be held responsible for. Of course, that we shouldn't anger, or we should be the only ones that are living the life that is the Bible speaking about. But the Bible is speaking for all of us. He said, let every man be swift. Be quick to hear, to listen. Be slow to speak. And also be slow to anger. So it says here, be slow to anger, for the anger of man, the wrath of man, does not produce the righteousness of God. So it just explains why. Because your anger does not produce the righteousness of God. So when you're in that relationship and that child is trying to tell you how they feel, we got to do what? Be swift to hear. Be slow to speak. And slow to wrath. I know sometimes that you may hear things from your spouse or your kids or even your leaders that just really want to blow your mind. That's why you should go into in prayer, already in prayer. Be slow to anger. Good listening is the antidote for anger. Good listening is the antidote for anger. Because if you find yourself getting too angry, you've cut off listening skills. You have totally cut those off. And now you're just building up on the anger. And if you put D in front of anger, you get danger. You get in a danger zone. And now it didn't start out. You thought this conversation started out one topic. But that's no longer the topic. Now because of your anger, now you're thinking of other ways to hurt the person. Now you start going back and bringing up again, what? The evilness out of the treasures of your heart. Remember, evil man of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. Most of the time when an argument or miscommunications happens in a relationship, it happens when someone cares more about saying something rather than listening to what is being said. You can't even complete your sentence without me saying something rather than listening to what it is that you have to say. And a lot of times we ask the question, why did you do that? And then as soon as the person tries to answer, it's more important for us to say something than to listen. And listen, hear exactly what it is. Listen to the person. Try to walk in their shoes. Step in their shoes. Hear what it is that they have to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs 10 and 19 says, "It's in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise." Again, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. What it actually is telling us is when you give energy to listening, you're being wise. Not only that, but if you're loving and honoring your spouse or your loved one, you're honoring them by listening to them. Chances are that you vow to love, to honor that person on your wedding day. One way to do that is to be by being swift to hear. You tell your child, I love you. You tell those who work for you or that you work for that you can trust me. One way that you can prove that is show that you're a good listener. Hallelujah. A lot of words and the multitude of words saying it's not lacking. When you're talking, sin is all in the midst of it. You're just given more opportunity for sin. More opportunity for sin. More opportunity for anger. More opportunity for danger. But he who refrains from speaking so much, who knows how to restrain his lips, that's the wise person. You say, oh, he said this and he told her that. It doesn't matter. The winner is the wise person. So now you have to guard your heart, build trust, be quick to listen. You've got to learn to speak words of life. Every relationship, you must learn to speak words of life. In Proverbs 15:4, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And in Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and health to the bones. Oh, you need sweetness in your life? Here it is. Let's do it again. Proverbs 15:4. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. That's who you want to be around. Someone who can speak life into your life, into your relationship. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and health to your bones. You know, you hear people say all the time, if you don't have anything good to say, just don't say anything at all. Now, that also does not mean that you don't say anything, but you sit there and look at them all crazy, and you give them all kind of, because they're speaking. Your action is your voice. That's just speaking negativity. But the Holy Spirit will, in certain situations, will just close my mouth. I like observing things anyway. I like observing people and their actions. But there are certain times that I'm just not even allowed to speak at all. Because I can feel what's going on, or something is negative. Negativity has just been poured out of someone's, the evil treasures of their heart. And so God has just had me just hush and not even get involved in that, move myself back from it. But the most pleasant words are the ones that are the sweetness to your heart, that you just find yourself want to be in that person's presence. You can't wait to see that person come in from their work that day. You want to be there with them. You think about them when you're not with them. You think of the things that they said, those pleasant words. I come to remind you that each and every one of you, you have the opportunity to speak words that bring life. You, whatever's going on, you have the opportunity to speak words that bring life. That loved one is your number one audience where they're concerned. They're the number one audience. They want your full attention. Where this is concerned, remember, sometimes you can get along better. You go to work and you're just talking and laughing at, and you come home and you're evil and you don't want to listen. But your loved one, your spouse, should be the number one audience in your life. Remember when you're saying yes to being happy at work. That's a choice you're making. That means that you say no to your family. When you walk in there and all grouchy, and you walk in there and you're snapping. You say, no, I would not respect you. No, I would not put you first. No, I would not give you my best. I would give it to someone else. Saying yes to one thing is saying no to another. You have that opportunity today. Will you choose to speak words that bring life into that situation? Life into that relationship. God has given you a spouse. God has given you the kids. He's given you your siblings so that you can encourage and spur them on to their God-given assignment in your life. They need your encouragement. They need to know that you're behind them every step of the way. They need to know that even though I step out and I may not always do right, I fall short, that I have you. You're still going to be with me. They need to know that you're the built-in cheerleader. Mothers, fathers, our young people, they need to know that we're their cheerleaders. We're their number one encourager, their biggest fan. Hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can speak some negative things into your kids that can mess them up. 30 years from now, they're still messed up by some of the negative words that have came out of your mouth, out of the abundance of your heart. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. It's your tongue. According to Proverbs 18:21, so choose life every chance you get. Every chance you get. Before you say that negative word, remember that negative word stands for death. Remember, if you walk in righteousness, it's because you're wanting to be righteous. Remember, if you choose to walk in negativity, if you choose to be wicked, it's because you want to follow behind the wickedness. When you open your mouth and you say those words that will cut, steal, and destroy someone's joy, their future, remember, that's your choice to show the evil that's in your heart. Remember that you're choosing death over life. You should choose life every chance that you get. Repent of your sin. And if you want to turn things around in that relationship, or just make things better, you say it's not... everything is okay with me and my kids. Me and my siblings are fine. Me and my spouse is fine. You want to make things even better. These four steps is a great place to start. Guard your heart. Build trust. Be quick to listen. Speak words of life. Put these simple keys into practice. And I truly believe that this is going to be one of the best years of your life. It can strengthen you where you're weak, build you up where you're all torn down. Hallelujah. And just remember, your words make a difference in someone's life. Your words make a difference in someone's life. We're thanking God once again for another opportunity. Here at Tri-Anointed Ministries, that we can reach out to you. It is I, your servant, Evangelist Von Dumas from San Antonio, Texas, and I'm glad to reach out around the world. Someone told me the other day, said, you know, the whole time I was thinking you was right here in Detroit with us. I thank God for technology, that we can reach out and touch all around the world. Hallelujah. I heard somebody just the other day they sent me an email from Japan and said, I just kind of stumbled across your broadcast one night. I was needing to hear the word, and there you were. I said, give God all the glory. Give God all the glory. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He wants you to know that he's there for you. So he has chosen someone just like me. Just to reach out and be there for you. To reach out and just tell you the good news. That he loves you. He's never going to leave you. He never will forsake you. But he's always there with you. And now, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I just like to take this opportunity. I just want to introduce you. I want to introduce you to the greatest friend, the greatest healer, the greatest comforter that you'll ever have, that you'll ever need. As you say these words, and if you just believe them in your heart, you will be born again. I know all the troubles that right now that are resting right there in front of you right now, Don't you want to release? Don't you really want to break through? Don't you want to try something different? Just repeat the words after me and just believe them in your heart. And believe that by believing, by repeating the words, believe that you will be born again. According to Romans, that's in the New Testament, it's chapter 10. And then go to verse 9 and read through 10 to remind yourself that you will be born again. Let's repeat the words. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you have died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you now as my Savior and my Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen, sisters and brothers. All around the world, amen. Amen. I know you feel better. Go ahead and shout, amen. Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you something else. If you just prayed that prayer, oh, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians, also in the New Testament, chapter 5 and verse 17 tells us, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So whoever it was before you said this, repeated this, that's past. That's old things. It's passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means you are a new creature in Christ. And all of heaven is celebrating you. You have a brand new life with Jesus and a bright future filled with faith, a bright future filled with hope. Now, it's important that you let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. I would love to hear from you. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can also leave a message here at the Blog Talk Radio. We'll make sure that we get back in touch with you. We enjoy hearing from you. We enjoy praying with you. And anything that we can do to help you on your walk, that's what we want to do. In our closing, I remind you, it's important that you let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. Just let us know if we can help you. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. My name is Evangelist Von Dumas. And remember, Christ is thinking about you. And he only wants the best for your life. Christ is thinking about you. He only wants the best for your life. God bless you. And may he keep you. May he keep you close to him. May he never leave you. May you believe in his word. May you come to trust in his word that whatever you need, he'll be there for you. Wherever you go, he'll be right there. Choose to speak life today. Life and death is before you. Will you choose life? Will you choose to speak life into your family today? Will you choose to speak life into your relationship? God bless you. We love you. I'll see you tomorrow night. Same time. Be in blessing. Be in prayer. Keep on believing. I'm not alone, and as long as I'm not alone, yeah.
gonna say.